Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hedgers and speculators here, online traders, broker-assisted, and our most popular category, hybrid. If you want to know more about me, just come on over to the website, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. All my contact information is on the website or in the show notes. If you know anyone who likes podcasts, wants to listen to something like this, please pass it along. And if you like this podcast, really appreciate if you'd review us over on iTunes. More people review us, the more the more popular the podcast gets, the more often we can do this, more resources I get from our marketing department. So, I'm going to try to do a couple this week, maybe Tuesday, Thursday. We're going to have more results coming in from the fields. We're going to have more about the Pro Farmer Tour, the Crop Tour, and some other developments going along. Also, this is the time of year where we start to get a little bit more active with marketing. If anyone who remembers last year, you know, from mid-August to December, we were doing straddles, short straddles, on either old crop we still had in storage or the new crop that was either in the field and coming into storage, anything that wasn't unpriced. Just because even though I'm still deep down at heart a bull, you know, on corn, I also realize that we get some price pressure at the end of August, then we'll see some exports improve, and usually when it's all said and done, prices really don't move a whole lot. And that's why we'll do the straddles. Again, my rules for the straddles, short straddles, is you need to have adequate to burden some stocks. You can't do it with tight stocks, and you can't do it if there's some kind of unknown about to happen that could swing the stocks fast, right? So we wouldn't do it with soybeans, for example, because, you know, you basically the idea is if the U.S. and China talks, nothing comes with it. There's no reason why we shouldn't be maybe 50 cents lower in beans. But excuse me, if the China U.S. deal does happen sooner rather than later, then in theory we're adding 200 million bushels to exports maybe, and markets got a fact that are in, we're up 50 cents. So, you know, we're talking about the potential of a dollar range in soybeans the next couple of months either way. Which I don't really want to deal with. You would think, though, in corn, you know, somewhere between, you know, low 360s, high 350s to maybe the three, you know, high 380s, low 390s is a realistic range for the next month or two. In corn, you know, with about a 1.6, 1.7 billion carryout, yeah, we're seeing large crop, but we're also the cheapest feed grain to export. U.S. corn is. So, as far, you know, yeah, the crop might get bigger, but exports are also likely to get bigger, too. And at 1.6 or 1.7 billion carryout, that's not the end of the world in terms of corn supplies, but it's plenty on hand to, so there's definitely not going to be a shortage. So, if that's the scenario, I like the long-term idea of, you know, corn's cheap, and I can see why funds or investors may be long. In terms of traders, you're probably playing the range. For the farmer, who, even if you're long corn because you bought back old crop or you're some hedges out there that you need to take off, I think the short straddle works for both strategies. Or if you don't have anything priced and you're still waiting to price and you've got unsold bushels, whether it's old crop or new crop, I think the short straddles work for corn. I want to just make sure I'm clear on that corn. I have different thoughts on soybeans and wheat heading into the next couple of months. But for corn, I just, you know, I just see the downside limited. You know, it's in the 350s, 360 area if things really, really go against corn. And it's hard to see corn go above 390 in the next couple of months, especially with harvest coming around. So I like it. That's what I've been writing about earlier today in Turner's Take Ag Marketing in the newsletter. And we'll go get that started again. You know, in years past, what we've usually done when we found corn or any of the markets to kind of have a seasonally, I don't know, I wouldn't say quiet period. It can be volatile, but not as volatile as, let's say, the spring and summer can be. What we'll do is whatever we can collect, 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever it may be at the end of all these things, the idea is either add that to the final sales price, if possible, of whatever whatever bushels we're writing options on, or we just kind of keep that money in the hedge account, and we'll look at a good time to maybe buy some protection for 19, right? We don't do it all in one shot, but, you know, let's say we do have a, you know, last year, for example, we had a couple of successful trades in a row in August, September, and October on selling straddles because corn wasn't really doing anything, and we were able to combine those little gains into basically enough to hedge out some of the new crop when we had a rally in South America, which was able to build a floor for us. So you can do that. These are the kind of things you can do. We don't write straddles a lot. It really has to do with the time of year, right? And we look for times of year where there's a lot of supply. There's not a lot of whole questions or unknowns going on. And again, adequate to burden some stocks. Those are the criteria we look at. That's what's setting up for corn. So that's what that email was about this morning. If you're interested in that kind of thing and you're not a client here and receive that email, feel free to contact me. I'll let you know what you're doing. What we are doing. And, you know, as you listen to this podcast, I hope you realize, like, there is a format on how we go through the marketing season. And this is definitely one of the tools that we use. And I'm always happy to talk to someone who's, you know, interested in that. So that's our outlook for corn. Regardless, I mean, just by, you know, if you have a 178 yield and let's up exports up about 100 million from where they are, we're still at, hold on a second here, I'll tell you right now, 178 yield, 178.5 yield, with the exports we are now, we're about 1.68 billion carryout. If we go to 180, and let's just increase exports 100 million, because I think that's fair, you know, carryout's 1.75 billion. So up in the yield to 180.5, with exports going up another 100 million, which really isn't out of the question based on how exports have been going. And the fact that we'll get something done with Mexico done in NAFTA sooner rather than later. I don't want to hold my breath on the whole China thing, but I do think things get worked out in NAFTA, in the United States and Mexico, which would be good for corn, good for hogs, pork. So in my mind, we're still like a 1.6, 1.7 billion carryout, even with the 180 yield. We're around there anyways. And I think that keeps prices stabilized. So that's what we're doing in corn. From the spec side, I like buying the breaks. I do. I do think, you know, farmers are going to have to clear out some old crop. If we do go 5 or 10 cents lower, I like it. I also like selling straddles on the spec side, too. I think it's easier to do with a farmer, because here's the deal. If you're a farmer, you sell a straddle, you're basically saying, well, if we go up 15 or 20 cents, I'm making sales, which you would anyways, right? And if we go down 15 or 20 cents, it's probably a buyback, right? You know, if we're getting to the 350s, 360s, that's proven to be not a bad strategy over the past couple of years. And if we don't do anything, we just turn around, then you're just collecting the premium. So in beans, I find it very difficult to do anything in the futures market on the sell side. I've been saying for a while, you make your sales in the cash market. If I were a speculator, maybe look at the futures spreads, like the old crop, new crop. Keep an eye on the meal. But I think it's real tough. I got to tell you, I really feel for the soybean farmer out there. I mean, you're basically, it's kind of hurry up and wait. I think the game plan is going to be sell your corn, store the beans, wait for a deal. I really think that's what the game plan is going to be, and I'm getting more and more sense of that. It's a real turnaround from years past. I mean, since the renewable fuels came out 10 years ago, give or take, the game plan has been sell those beans, store that corn, and I just don't see it. You know, this thing with China and the United States, it's going to be the opposite, especially if we get another rally up to 380, 385. I think that's what's going to happen. Then it's just a waiting game. Wait and see. Like, when does United States get a deal done with China when the, you know, the exports come back from China. And then at that point, I think the farmer would then sell their beans. So in the meantime, I think you just, I don't have a whole lot of strategies for soybeans. It's kind of like trying to trade in front of a Fed report when they may or may not change interest rates. It's just, you know, you just feel like you're blowing on the dice and throwing them on the table. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. In terms of wheat, that's an interesting story. So there's a couple. There's bearish and bullish factors going on in the wheat market, as there always is, right? That's no different than any other time. But what's happening here is wheat's down again today. And apparently the Russian grain sellers, basically the grain houses that have the wheat that are selling on the export market, are kind of in a rush now to get that wheat out. And they're going to continue to want to be the cheapest wheat out there. They want to make those sales. The concern is, I guess for the business side of Russia, is they don't want to get caught, you know, in a situation where there is export curbs. And so it's interesting. So you have the story of where, you know, the market thinks there could be export curbs in wheat. So you would think wheat would go higher, which it did sometimes. Some days it does go higher. That's the up days. Then in the down days, it's, well, there's nothing concrete from Russia, but all the cash sellers in Russia are trying to get this stuff out of the door, and that's pushing prices down. Very interesting dynamic, right? Because the reason why, apparently, why Russia's trying to get as much exports out as possible is because they think an export ban is coming. But it's pushing the prices down. And then Russia's saying there's going to be no export ban. Or they're not going to try to curb exports at all. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And who knows? Maybe Russia has more wheat than they know what to do with. And they can sell all this wheat. And there won't be any curbs because they have plenty. But you look at the industry. You look at the analysts out there. And they're talking about the Russia wheat. And they say it's a little bit too high based on the USDA. And based on their export. Based on their, you know, export pace, you know, they could be running out of exportable wheat by the end of the fourth quarter, which really should start showing up in either the cash prices or the government over there is going to have to say, hey, slow down. We don't want to have shortages in the country. Meanwhile, the Russian grain houses don't want to get caught with, you know, with all the wheat. We'd rather just get rid of it because they're at a profit right now of selling it. So, interesting dynamic. There's nothing. It's always hard to get news out of Russia. And what's really going on. So it's always about, all this information comes from a secondhand source or the price bids that you see or, you know, someone knows one of the grain traders over there through some kind of clearinghouse relationship or exchange relationship. So take it with a grain of salt, but that's what's going on. I am still a bull for wheat in the fourth quarter into the first quarter. I think right now it's tough. I think just... you know, if I was a wheat producer, I'd wait for a rally again to sell. I know we got, in Turner's Take Ag Marketing, we did get another 20% sold in wheat because we'd only been 20% sold to begin with. So we got 40% sold in wheat. I do think we're going to rally again today. Not today. I do think we're going to rally again. It's probably not going to happen this month. It's going to be more likely into September or October, and then we'll continue to make sales. I think on the spec side, it's going to be range-bound. I still like the old crop, new crop spreads. I think there's some value there. And, you know, I would look for, in terms of just buying and selling futures outright, I think it's tough. I think you've got a real tough market here. But if we do, I would say if we see a technical reversal on the chart, you know, if you're following me or Twitter or someone of the newsletter and, you know, it's they're talking about, like, what's going on in Russia, as soon as we hear stories of any kind of Russian ban or any kind of confirmation from Russia or Ukraine that they need to slow wheat export sales with some mechanism, that'll probably be the signal to buy in the next, like, higher in wheat. If that doesn't happen, we're probably coming down to another 50 cents. We can go from $5.50 to $5 in wheat. If it does happen... you know, who knows, maybe we go to 650. But that's, I mean, that's just based on years past. That's just based on what happens when markets get into price rationing. Just the fact that the market's still talking about it, that these things are possible, just means that the situation's tight and the government's going to monitor it and they'll figure out if they need to curb exports or not. They may not, they may. We'll see. But that's going to be the reason for the volatility. That's why I prefer to be in future spreads, old crop, new crop, be a little bit more stable, a little bit more, especially compared to that, right? Futures, easier to stay in, right? So that's what we'll do with wheat. In terms of hogs, I was on, hold on one second here, bear with me. I was on Ag News Daily with Mike Pearson and Delaney Howe yesterday, and we talked about all the markets, but one of the ones that I really enjoyed talking about at the end there was the hog market. We had a very nice conversation about, you know, what's really going on. It's kind of crazy. Like, there's a huge dislocation between futures and cash. And one thing I did mention is that, you know, the cash market is about what's going on right now. The futures market takes into account the cash market, but also has to look into the future, right? So there's been huge, huge numbers. I mean, and the people I talked to in the industry have confirmed there's huge numbers. Like, you know, they have it, you know, the cold storage numbers are big. You know, the production is big, and you talk to some people in the industry, like the big, big players, you know, the ones who are in the pork and the poultry, you know, they all say the same thing. It's easier to cut down poultry production because of the shorter gestation life cycles. And, well, hogs, it's tougher. You know, it's 6 to 9 months with hogs. It's easier with poultry to pull back. So, what is interesting, though, this has been going on for a couple of months, so you would think the industry would start to account for that. I think that can account for a little bit of the bottoming action in hogs. But I think the two big ones is there is belief, and I mean there's strong belief that there's a deal getting done with Mexico sooner rather than later. Wouldn't be surprised to hear something this week on it. That's going to open the way to get something done with Canada and then to actually sort out NAFTA. I think the president really wants to get NAFTA done before the midterms. I think Mexico really wants to get it done. I wouldn't be surprised Canada is motivated to do something too and just get that out of the way. That'd be very good for corn. Also be even better for the lean hog market. And on the other side too, we are hearing stories more and more of swine flu. The African swine flu in China. Now, there's been a small population of it reported, but, you know, when it comes to China, it's, you know, it's what they're not saying. Like, if numbers were higher, they're not gonna say that. Like, they're definitely not gonna, you know, tell the world, excuse me, that, you know, they're hit hard because it's just gonna increase the cost for them to buy pork, right? Plus, they have export bans on or export tariffs on U.S. pork, which is not going to be good for the homeland. Because if you imagine if you're a citizen there, and one now soybean, China's basically jacked up the price of soybeans as an input cost, and then you have swine flu in China, and that's going to even increase the cost more. And, you know, it's kind of self-inflicted. You know, China's the one that's imposing the tariffs, right, on their people or the businesses that go out and buy this stuff so they don't buy it from the United States as a retaliatory action against the United States. The problem is no one the citizens are going to get, you know, that's a huge part, you know, a huge part of the diet over there, you know, pork and soy, you know, you're going to have upset people, and you don't want, the one thing you got to, as we've learned in the Middle East, is, you know, you start having food shortages or price inflation from food, you can get some pretty unstable situations. So I think there's some of that. I really do think there's some geopolitical trading going on hogs right now. Like, is there going to be a swine flu? Is China not letting on as much there it is? Is it just small and contained? You know, there's Dennis Gartman is fond of saying there's never just one cockroach. Another one to put it is, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think the market's playing up to that. So the cash prices are weak. I mean, the bellies are atrocious. The cutouts are low. You know, what's going on right now in terms of supply and prices are very low. Yet in the futures market, we're rallying. And, you know, it's probably a combination of short covering, of NAFTA, and China. And so the futures market tends to be forward-looking. The futures market's signaling, hey, some demand stuff can come up, which is the NAFTA trick. And also there may be some worldwide supply shortages, which is the Chinese flu thing, which could lead to more U.S. demand. And that's why we have this dislocation. So that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Cattle has been quiet. I really have the best thing I can say about cattle is we usually see better demand in the fall and the winter. That's a seasonal deal. I don't see why that wouldn't happen. I know things are kind of quiet right now with cattle. But you got to remember, Remember all those cattle on feed reports from the first half of the year? I mean, it just kept on showing waves of cattle eventually coming, and they did. And it's going to take time for the market to work through that. So that's where we are. There is a cattle, there is a hog spread that I like. I have not been writing about it, but you know, some of the deferred cattle spreads and the future spreads I think are a good value. And if the NAFTA thing comes to life and the NAFTA, and there is issues in China, I think some of those deferred contracts or those deferred spreads, future spreads in hogs are interesting. If you have any questions about that or what we're looking at, feel free to contact me. I'll even probably write about it later this week or hopefully get it out today. So that's what we're doing. Feel free to call. I appreciate everyone who listens to this. I appreciate everyone who forwards on Turner's Take, the weekly newsletter. It is a free newsletter. It is a free podcast. I really am grateful to all listeners out there. And if you like the podcast, please feel free to go to iTunes and give us a review. And please go ahead and send it over. And helps us increase our listenership. So have a great rest of your day. I'm really going to try to get back on here on Thursday. We're getting to a point in the season where we get a lot more active with the marketing, so we're going to try to come on twice a week here. So have a great day, and I'll talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.